Good morning, and peace be with you. I want to make a couple of announcements before. Mike, are you going to do announcements for us? Okay, excellent. Just to let you know, Ron Decker is in the hospital right now, so we need to lift him up in prayer for all things needful. And it was a complete surprise to him having to go to the hospital because he went and had some routine blood tests. And they said, guess what? You get to go to the ER. And so he has been there most of this last week. So please lift him up for prayer for all things needful. God knows. And just to comfort him, heal him, and bring him back to us soon. Also, Henry and Hank Jr. Navigated from LAX yesterday morning, so you can kind of go, ooh. But they made it without any kind of delays to Waco, Texas, to be with his sister Cynthia, who is experiencing some complications from cancer. So please lift Cynthia up, Hank and Hank Jr., and Monica, as you know, we all know what it's like to have a beloved in the hospital and to feel that kind of helplessness. And this too was also quite a surprise to them because she had just gotten a PET scan that 2 weeks ago that said, hey, you are clear of cancer. And then she wasn't. So she's had emergency surgery. And I got a picture of the guys in the men's group that meets every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock in Pastor Ken's office, and all men are welcome. Henry sent us a picture of him with his sister, and she's smiling, her head's wrapped, she had surgery on her brain, and there is optimism in it. And so with God, we know there's always a way. So those two things amongst also everyone who is going through stuff, but I wanted to point them out right now. So Mike, would you come up and let us know all the news that's fit to tell? Thank you, Mike.
First of all, I'd like to apologize to the pastor. The council for yesterday's meeting, I have no excuse except old age and treachery. this month's mission is from going to the Robin's Nest. And if you've ever had any dealings with the Robin's Nest, it's a very worthy cause. I deal with through the Elks Lodge on their motorcycle run every year, and it's very, very heartwarming. The Bible studies, I've seen Bible studies every week. If you have time, please come on down. As usual, they're looking for worship assistants. They found me. Anyway, don't forget the fall piano concert is November 15th, and on this, don't forget the ceremony for Carol. A lot of people's birthdays in November. I won't go through them all. They're all printed there. On the back side, it gives you church hours. Everybody should know that by now. And the print, there's a prayer meeting on the first Wednesday of every month. And that about covered it. Be kind to everyone. In God's name, thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Wow, is that me. Thank you, Mike. I'm going to have to go see Tim here in a minute. Our opening hymn is Come Thou Font.
Thank you. found of every bliss. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise.
It's never too late to learn anything, especially something as important as taking control of your finances. If you have a 401k, a retirement plan, or anything like it, you're already.
And the one, and the two. Are we good? Yeah? Well, I do that so you can't hear me on the recording going, so, okay? Pio, this is how it is almost every Sunday. It's so good to have you back, my friend. Good to see you. Good to see you. All right, are we good, Tim? Can I get started? All right, thanks for making me late. All right. Please stand if you're able. We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a moment of silent reflection. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are his. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, to lay hold of your promises, and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. This can be found on page 90 in the Pew Bibles if you care to follow. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said, Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Okay, we look at the insert that you have, or page 6, I believe, is printed the Psalm 148. And we are looking for you to read that with me responsively. And it's going to be Psalm 148 on page 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away.
Praise the Lord.
No. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. Mountains of all hills, fruit trees of all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. His name alone is exalted. Splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. We go to, on our next reading, to the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 and 13 through 17. This can also be found in your Pew Bible on page 1843. 2 Thessalonians 1 through 8, and then 13 through 17. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through the belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, from the 20th chapter, glory to you, O Lord. Our gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 40, and can be found on page 1634 in your pew Bible. Luke records, "Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. 'Teacher,' they said, 'Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second, and then the third, married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?' And Jesus replied, 'The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive.' Some of the teachers of the law responded, 'Well said, teacher,' and no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Distractions and false assumptions abound in this gospel and in this world today. But Jesus knows the heart. When I was a child, I enjoyed brain teasers, and I still do. Here's a couple for you. The first one's to warm you up. Are you listening? Okay. If a rooster lays an egg on top of a barn, which way does it roll? Roosters don't lay eggs. Okay. All right. Very good. One for one. Here's another classic. One of the classic brain teasers is a riddle that is in a form of a poem. It goes like this. "As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with seven wives. Each wife had seven sacks, and each sack had 7 cats. Each cat had 7 kits. Kits, cats, sacks, and wives. How many were going to St. Ives? Okay. You can't pull the wool over your eyes, and that's good. That is exactly right. There was only one. The man who's telling the story, right? Yeah. Okay. So many of you obviously have heard this one before, and you knew the answer. It's simple once you know the trick, and there's always a trick. You see, the poem starts out with the phrase, "As I was going to St. Ives." And only one person in the poem was going to St. Ives. Since the teller of the poem met the kits, cats, sacks, and wives, they were, the kits, cats, sacks, and wives, headed away from St. Ives. And all those characters were merely distractions to get you confused, which it didn't confuse you, about the real nature of the problem. There are thousands of brain teasers like that. And most brain teasers use some sort of verbal trickery to distract us from finding the easy way to the solution, the real answer. Now, when I tell you about the wives, sacks, cats, and kits that were leaving St. Ives, people would have a natural tendency to think that these things are important to the problem at hand and to the solution. The wording actually deceives you into thinking that it is the wives or the sacks or so forth that are going to St. Ives. And brain teasers get you all interested in something, well, something that has nothing to do with the solution, so that you will go about solving the wrong problem or trying to find an answer to a question that nobody asked. You know, magic works the same way. Do you have any magic fans out here? Any of the guys that, you know, were on TV years ago? I can't even remember the name, but, huh? David Copperfield was one of them. He made a 747 disappear, right? And all that kind of stuff. Well, magic works the same way. It uses misdirection and diversion. That is to distract the audience from the deception so that they participate in the trick. It's all part of the fun. It really is fun of watching the show, and no real harm is done because we know that the performer is fooling us. We actually enjoy the performer's skill at pulling off the deception. It's all fun and games when it's just entertainment and part of the show, but that all changes when these same tricks are used against us in real life. That is what the temple rulers were attempting to do in the gospel this day. Jesus is in the temple, and a parade of temple rulers, well, they came before him, and they were asking questions and hoping to verbally humiliate Jesus, to try to take him down just a notch or two. They were trying to make him look bad in front of the people. And today's gospel, it tells us about the attempt of the Sadducees that they made when it was their turn. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Sorry to do that. Every time I see that word, it's just kind of like natural for me, but that's how I remember. The Sadducees, they suggested a hypothetical situation. Instead of a man with 7 wives, they suggested a woman with 7 husbands who happened to be brothers. Now, each of these brothers takes his turn as this woman's husband and then dies and leaves the woman childless. Now, this is an extremely extreme example of Levirate marriage. And Levirate marriage was a civil law in ancient Israel and much of the rest of the Middle East. Basically, it goes like this. If a married man died and left no children, the nearest male relative would marry his widow. And this near relative would care for the widow, and their first son would become the legal child of that first husband who died. And this child would inherit the dead husband's property, his money, his livestock, and so forth. Now, the Sadducees proposed a situation where this happened seven times, but no one, not once, did it produce a child. And their scenario is pretty improbable, but it is mathematically possible. And then the Sadducees wanted Jesus to tell them who the woman's husband would be in heaven. And there is a trick to the Sadducees' question. And the trick is so devious, it's possible that even the Sadducees knew it was there. The Sadducees made an assumption about the nature of heaven. They made an assumption on the nature of heaven, something they didn't believe in. They assumed that people would be married in heaven the same way that they were married on earth, and their assumption was wrong. The Sadducees came up with this ridiculous scenario because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They wanted to demonstrate publicly how ridiculous the idea of life after death, the resurrection and heaven and hell all were. They wanted to back Jesus into a corner so that he had to admit that the whole idea of life after death was ridiculous. They thought they had Jesus right where they wanted him, and they thought wrong. Of course, Jesus picked up on the false assumption immediately. He knows men's hearts. And the Sadducees' scenario was not ridiculous because the afterlife is ridiculous, but because they had made the ridiculous assumption that life in the next world is the same as it is in this world. They assumed that people would still be married in the next life. And Jesus told them this was not the case. In verse 35 of today's gospel, Jesus said, "They neither marry nor are given in marriage." Now, today's culture also has its false assumptions, just as the Sadducees did. Today's culture often uses false assumptions in opposition to Christianity. In today's world, we often hear questions like, "What gives you the right to tell us what is right and what is wrong?" Or, "How can you say your religion is any better than the others?" Have you ever heard that? Maybe it was said to you, maybe you heard it somewhere else. Now, there is a false assumption in these questions and in questions that are like them. The assumption is so deceptive that most people don't know that it is there. You know what that is? I'm going to tell you. The unspoken assumption behind these questions is that religion is a product that we, you and I, manufacture. It is something that we make up. The popular notion is that all people have a source of spiritual power within themselves, and people must develop that power in their own special way. Now, this gives rise to the popular notion that people should believe in whatever works best for them. It also gives rise to the idea that we should allow anyone to believe anything. It gives rise to a world like the world in the book of Judges, where we read in Judges 21:25, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We Christians have confidence in our faith because it does not come from inside us through our own effort. Our faith, our righteousness, our salvation is not something that we do. Can I get an amen? One more time. Amen. Okay. It is something that God does for us. My body for you. My blood shed for you. God the Father loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. God the Son loves us so much that he took our place under the law, keeping it perfectly and then enduring its penalty on our behalf. God the Holy Spirit loves us so much that he works faith in us through word and through sacrament. Our salvation comes from God. Our salvation does not come from ourselves or our own efforts. Now, when the world asks us its questions, we can say this: you are right. You're right. We do not have the right to tell you what is right and wrong, but God does. We can say, we do not have the right to tell you what to believe, but God does. And furthermore, we have not worked out a plan for your salvation, but God did. The Sadducees in today's gospel tried to make the resurrection of the dead seem ridiculous, and boy, did they fail. Jesus not only showed them a flaw in their argument, but he then made a point of his own. He said, God is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live in him. That was verse 38 of today's gospel. Jesus not only made the point, but he demonstrated it. On the Friday after he had this debate that we read today with the Sadducees, the Friday after he carried our sins to the cross and there paid the penalty for them with his very life. The following Sunday, he himself rose from the dead and he paved the way for all who believe in him to join him in everlasting paradise. The everlasting paradise of heaven. Now, the world can make all the false assumptions it wants to, but no other faith, not one, has a God who serves his own to the point of offering his life on the cross in their place. No other faith, not one, has a God who says, I have saved you. You do not save yourself. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen.
righteous things will be added unto you.
Please stand if you're able. Let us now confess our faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Almighty God and Father, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to overcome the world for us through his cross and resurrection. Grant us grace and peace in him, that whatever troubles, tribulations and temptations afflict us in the world of sin and sorrow, that we may never forget you or forsake you. Rather, strengthen us by your grace, that we may bear our crosses in patience and trust and remain faithful in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, you have built your church and called her to hold fast to the word of life in the midst of a crooked and twisted world. Preserve her from all grumbling, from rivalry and conceit, and sustain her in humble and devout faith until the day of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, grant to us, Heavenly Father, those good works that flow from faith in your precious Son. Grant that everything your children do in thought, in speech, and action would bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, we ought always to be thankful for your rich and abundant blessings to us and to our country. Bless Donald, our president, the Congress of these United States, Gavin, our governor, our legislators, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Deliver us from the threats of violence and teach us the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty Father, the physical and mental ills with which your people struggle are not beyond your power or grace. Bless the sick with healing according to your will. Bless the suffering with relief. Bless the grieving with comfort. And bless the dying with peace. Especially we do name before you those out loud, Sherry Moore and Cynthia and Ron and Eldred and others, as we speak their names out loud. We trust in your good and gracious will to grant us all things needful for this body and life, and to keep us amid all these afflictions. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, you have set us apart as your own people and given us a place at the table of your Son. Grant to us the faith to discern Christ's body and the repentance to receive his Holy Communion worthily. Bless our fellowship at the table of the Lord, that we may be sustained in unity of doctrine and life together. Bring us to that day when division shall no longer prevent us from receiving the sacrament as one church. Lord, in your mercy, there's all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share the peace. Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection he opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. For you, he did it for you. Jesus, sinless, perfect life, obedient, took your sins, my sins, and nailed it to the cross. You know, and you've heard me say it, when nails that held him to the cross, it was his love for you. That's powerful. The great exchange is what Martin Luther called it, our sinfulness for his righteousness. This means of grace does impart forgiveness of sin, salvation. It rescues you from sin, death, and the devil. If that is your confession, and I heard it, then come. The table is prepared, and the usher will bring you forward. Ed, take and eat the body of Christ given and broken for you. Sharon, the body of Christ is given for you.
Pastor Ken, the body.
The sound of your name.
all that I am. Never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King.
And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The closing hymn is The Commission. And then after that, we have a beautiful feast. Let's stay around for fellowship.
It's my time to go.